Salam sejahtera, pada nama saya Riza Zulkafli dan ini adalah Niaga Awani. Pada 11 Jun lepas, Yayasan Hasanah melaporkan ia telah membantu lebih 1 juta warga Malaysia sejak penubuhannya melalui pelbagai inisiatif dan projek. Ini termasuk dalam bidang pendidikan, pembangunan komuniti dan juga bantuan kemanusiaan. Kenyataan berkenaan dibuat dalam laporan Hasanah 2020. Menurut pemegang amanah dan juga pengarah urusan Yayasan Hasanah Syahira Ahmad Bazari, tahun 2020 menyaksikan dunia berdepan dengan pandemik COVID-19 ketika Yayasan Hasanah memasuki tahun kelima. Ia melaporkan lebih 80% projek dilakukan pada 2020 adalah berkaitan pandemik COVID-19. Ini termasuk membantu usahawan untuk memasuki platform digital, inisiatif pendidikan dan makanan untuk kumpulan berpendapatan rendah di bandar dan juga luar bandar. Kita ingin melihat kepada inisiatif ini dan juga perkembangan terkini Yayasan Hasanah pada separuh pertama 2021 bersama pemegang amanah dan juga pengarah urusan Yayasan Hasanah, Syahira Ahmad Bazari. And izinkan saya meneruskan dalam bahasa Inggeris. Syahira, thank you for joining us. Now tell us about the need that grew in 2020 that came with the pandemic and how Yayasan Hasanah could expediently deliver assistance to 2 times more beneficiaries and 5 times more partners and projects.
Good morning, Rizal. Morning. Thank you very much for the question. It's great to be here. And thank you for the opportunity for given to Hasanah to share some of our experience in responding to the crisis and the pandemic. So, 2020 was indeed an extraordinary year for us, and it looks to be continuing in 2021. As a National Impact-Based Foundation, Riza.
Mm-hmm. Yayasan Hasanah continue to assist people in need through grant making. So we fund social purpose organizations across the country who are actually on the ground and able to give targeted assistance fast. So as you've seen and mentioned in our 2020 report, it has been an extraordinary year, not just for, I suppose, Hasanah, but everyone in the country. Last year, we had to step up and award faster and in a more expedient way because the need was just quite great, as you know, last year.
Mm-hmm. And Syahira, tell us about the collaborations and partnerships that happened in 2020. What were the crucial areas that you focused on?
Yeah, so last year was also a year where Hasanah collaborated in quite a big way, right? If you remember, we went into lockdown on March 18 last year, 2020. Then at that time, we have a network called the GLIC Disaster Relief Network, mm-hmm. that has been in existence since
2013, 2014, where multiple GLCs come together during a crisis. And typically, prior to the pandemic, we come together and pool our resources for floods, usually. And if you remember the very bad Kelantan floods in 2014, many companies came together and leveraged on our collective efforts, mm-hmm. To respond to the crisis. So fast forward March 2020, when the pandemic happened, everybody wanted to help. If you remember at that time, public hospitals had shortages with PPEs, ventilators and all of that. We convened the GDRN, and actually that initiative where we worked together with Kamaniaga enabled Yayasan Hasanah NTM as the co-secretariat of GDRN to pull together 29 companies who funded about 95 million ringgit with us at that time, to help with the medical equipment as well as social services, food assistance dan sebagainya, during that time. So that was a massive collaboration, but it was a collaboration that shows that when we work together, we can achieve so much more. As we continued and evolved with all of the various stimulus packages, Yayasan Hasanah has also been collaborating with the Ministry of Finance on managing some funds from the stimulus packages under Prihatin, under Permide and from Akasa even in 2021. To actually deploy funding in a more expedient way. right? Mm-hmm. And I think that we are able to do that, Rizal, because we already have the processes, the governance structures in place in terms of how we evaluate proposals and monitor, evaluate and report some of the programs that we support. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the crisis and non-crisis period, prior to the crisis, it takes us 3 months to evaluate proposals and award proposals. But during the crisis, we actually turned around support in 30 days. And that's for grant and for our humanitarian relief, like immediate humanitarian response, we actually turn around in 72 hours.
Mm-hmm. But
usually it's faster than that.
But Shahira, tell us more about the collaborations and partnerships. How did these collaborations and partnerships help Yayasan Hasanah to deliver better assistance for immediate impact to the beneficiaries?
Yeah, so I suppose it's all about coordinating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coordinating and ensuring that there is no redundancies, there are no overlaps in the kind of support. This is something that Yayasan Hasanah has been advocating since we kind of joined the social sector or joined the ecosystem, to say that, you know, we need to pool our resources together. We need to connect the dots and coordinate and collaborate, coordinate our efforts so we don't have duplications in our efforts. So I think, I always say that when you have to work, multi-stakeholder environment, we have to respect each other's independence, we have to respect each other's governance and transparency and audit processes, and we also need to be open-minded about collaboration and be flexible about the evolving nature of crisis. As you know, the crisis is evolving and we need to be flexible. So I think these were some of the ingredients that we put in place. I think I remember in March when there was just nobody knew what to do, right? That time we were all facing it for the first time. And so YH and I put together sort of like a term of reference document. And that went around, you know, WhatsApp groups, then sebagainya, where we said, you know, if you want to be part of the collaboration or you want to join, helping our public hospitals at that time. This is the objective, this is what it's meant to do, and all of that. So I think that worked, Rizal, and people kind of joined the collaborative or the collective and came together and supported in a very expedient way, like I said. And we ensured that there was transparency in the process, there were audits to close off those collaborations and sebagainya. So collaboration is possible, but I think we need to respect the needs and requirements of all parties and all partners within that collaboration.
Tell us briefly, Shahira, about that collaboration. Did you get best practices from that? And did that also show the role and the giving back aspect of from GLCs and GLICs in 2020? You know, GLCs and GLICs came together to support GDRN and work together to give back to the nation in that sense in 2020 because of the pandemic.
So what was your question, Rizal? Was there...
So that actually showed how GLCs and GLICs came together to support the relief effort during the pandemic, right?
Yeah. So, and also for Perspective GDRN, while it's a loose coalition, but it's a coalition of like-minded professionals, right? We've worked together for the various... natural disasters of the country, especially flood floods. You know, every year end we have the monsoon season, and GDRN typically comes together through the various CSR funds, and we coordinate. Basically, we say, okay, you know, Takoyang can coordinate dengan NKN, with NATMA, you know, with Bomba, and we have a war room. We usually set up a war room right around about October, November, just to be prepared for if there is a bad flood, then how can we respond? So, you know, the JLCs, you know, I mean, they have various assets, right? They have warehouses all over the country. Our banks have got branches all over the country and employees all over the country. You know, there are other assets like helicopters, gensets, and all of that that could actually be mobilized in a coordinated way where there are overlaps. So people were leveraging on their strengths. Okay, what are you good at? Okay, you go out there and do whatever. There are some companies who could only give money because they don't have too many employees to go down and help. So it was a coordinated effort from GLCs to respond. But I also wanted to tell you, so because of last year's experience, and then, as you know, where we are today with the cases, you know, growing and there are a lot of distress as well in society, in our communities. We are convening the GDRN again to look at what everyone is doing, because JLCs are doing a lot for the community, investing a lot under CSR, and we just wanted to kind of pull this together. And the other thing, Rizal, I think there are a lot of food assistance that are going on. As you know, there are also multiple other stresses that is going on, right? There's the mental well-being of the communities and individuals, you know, issues on domestic violence, and also, you know, for example, we have supported some programs where people are unable to either pay for health and social services. Like, for example, the National Stroke Association, the National Cancer Society. We had an organization that was doing wound care. So all of these services that have been in existence, where people could go and pay or move around, now, you know, quite a number of them cannot move to get their physiotherapy or to get their wound, you know, looked at and stuff like that. So there were a lot of those kind of support as well that we provided. And we will continue to provide. Then another category of assistance that we did was a lot of the micro-entrepreneurs who were, as we know, daily wage earners are now unable to open shop.
Yep.
So we had quite a lot of, we had some partner organizations, some social organizations that we work with that helped the micro-entrepreneurs pivot online, you know, like how to set up your FB account, how to set up Instagram account, how to market, promote your product, packaging, you know, make sure how you put your phone numbers and sebagainya. So, and alhamdulillah, I think that has been quite successful for quite a number of our micro entrepreneurs, single mothers and sebagainya, where they are now able to sell and still get income and leverage on all of the services, macam mana nak call lalam muka, macam mana nak call delivery services dan sebagainya. And the other thing is on pay for work. So for a lot of the, for example, orang asli community that we work with where, you know, their income was also impacted, we work with them to you know, for example, there's one project that we're doing in Perak where we pay the orang asli to create a new track to Mount Korbu. And that's basic. I'm waiting for the ENCO to be over so that we could go hiking and get into nature. But that was an example where, you know, the Orang Asli community actually got daily pay for taking care of our forest and also creating an alternative hiking path to Mount Korbu.
And Shahriah, tell us about the survey report impact of COVID-19 on civil society organisations in Malaysia. What were some of the key findings from this report, perhaps briefly?
Yeah, sure. So last year when we got into this pandemic, we were wondering how our partners are doing. We were worried about them, but we also wanted to know how they are doing and how the communities they are supporting, you know, how they're doing. So we did the survey, and I mean, there's some data. For example, 50% of them that we interviewed, I think there were about 200 over civil society organizations that responded to the survey, and about 50% of them required financial support. 40% anticipate project cancellation. About 31% said that they are afraid that the crisis may force their operations to shut altogether. Many, about 30%, were worried about mental health. And also, they felt that maybe funding would be an issue because many companies were either responding to the crisis and no longer providing grant dan sebagainya. So what we did at that time was that we, for the first time in YH, provided unrestricted funding, a small amount, but it was just basically a one-off grant that we gave all our 39 partners to say, you know, go do whatever you need to do. If you need to get PPEs for your staff, if you need to pay your rent, pay your salaries, whatever, you know, take care of yourself so that you can take care of the community, right? Mm-hmm. You can't fall from an empty cup. And so we wanted to be there for our partners. And our partners continue to be our champions. They are the voice of the ground. They give us insights. We connect with them quite regularly to find out what's going on because now we can't go down either because of the lockdown.
Okay. Shahira, let's take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about you managing and coordinating several projects in 2020 and 2021, including the Hasanah Special Grant 2020, the GDRN, or also perhaps a bit on Cerdik. Let's talk about that when we come back shortly. Kita akan berehat seketika kembali selepas ini. Bertemu kembali, anda bersama saya Reza Zulkapli dan ini Niaga Awani. Kita masih lagi bersama dengan pemegang amanah dan juga pengarah urusan Yayasan Hasanah, Shahira Ahmad Bazari. Shahira, the government also appointed Yayasan Hasanah to manage and coordinate several projects in 2020 and 2021, including the Hasanah Special Grant 2020 and the, of course, the one that you mentioned earlier, GLC and GLIC Disaster Response Network, GDRN, and also Cerdik. What were some of the challenges in implementing these projects?
Well, each of those projects has its challenges, Riza, but maybe I'll speak a little bit about the Hasanah Special Grant first.
Okay.
So I think Hasanah Special Grant was awarded in both 2020 and 2021. And basically, the idea of that, it's actually a grant hadanan, so it's a matching grant with the kind of grant that YH is giving. And it was meant to be channeled to NGOs as fast as possible so they could go out and help. And the scope of the Hasanah Special Grant includes livelihood programs, food assistance programs, social services, and mental health, online counseling, access to counselors dan sebagainya, dan juga environmental initiatives juga. Like, for example, we did work a lot with the orang asli community. In fact, we also had animal welfare included in the Hasanah Special Grant because there were a lot. We've heard about the stories in the zoo, right? Because there people are not coming out, so there's no income from tourists or entrance fees dan sebagainya. So somebody needs to take care and feed these animals as well. So we had various initiatives. We received more than 600 proposals. We awarded to, last year for Hasanah Special Grant, 110 projects. Mm-hmm. So Hasanah Special Grant 2, Rizal, is to scale the Hasanah Special Grant 1. Yeah. So penerima Hasanah Special Grant 1 will be evaluated. Then where we see projects that are doing really well and impacting many people and are scalable, we will ask them to apply for Special Grant 2. Mm-hmm. So that's the Hasanah Special Grant. I think if you talk about challenges, it's really about us stepping up and deploying and awarding the grant within 30 days. And that was a huge task for the organization and my team. We're quite a small team, but I think it was the dedication and the passion on helping, right? So everybody stepped up despite the various challenges last year to say we will do it, and we will we will help. So we did that. That's over and above our own work with humanitarian relief and our own Yes Hassanah grant. So on Cerdik, of course, there are a lot of interest in Cerdik, as you know, Rizal. And Cerdik ni, I think, there's a small misconception about Cerdik, right? Look, what is Cerdik and what Cerdik is not, right? Mm-hmm. So program Cerdik is it often gets compared to the many one-off device donation drives that is undertaken by many. Mm-hmm. It's a noble effort and much needed and should continue. However, Cerdik is not a one-off device donation drive, right? It's a comprehensive pilot program to inform and enable e-learning in public schools in the long run for the future, right? The first 150,000 laptops that you hear oftentimes being are of a certain quality to enable long-term primary and secondary learning, right? So kalau budak from 3 gets the device, they get to keep it from 3, from 4, from 5. So it's a good quality laptop, comes with 1 to 3 years warranty, 15 gig data per month for an entire year, and it will be used by the students for at least 3 years in their education journey. So there's a lot that we're learning from this pilot, Rizal, and this pilot is funded by GLC and GLIC. And the reason for the initial delay of the rollout is due to the global demand and supply issues of laptops. Mm-hmm. These are not, you know, tablets that we can buy at retail and buy and go, but they're well-built devices from established manufacturers like Dell, Lenovo, HP, Asus, and others. And obviously, of a certain specification, and therefore there were supply issues. But alhamdulillah, I must say that the rollout is now well on track. It has picked up speed despite all of the MCO and EMCO. I understand that about 60,000 devices have been given out, has gotten to the hands of students, and we hope to reach about 100,000 by end July. And you know, there is just so many misinformation, disinformation, and fake news out there now, Rizal. Mm-hmm. And I think people need to, I think we need to go back to ethical journalism and look at what is right, lah. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, I would say we did have challenges. But, you know, everyone is working really hard, as I know. Okay. As part of the secretariat, we know that everyone is working really hard to get the devices out and learn from the pilot so that when a larger rollout happens in the future, we can learn from this 150,000 pilot.
And finally, Shahira, let's talk about what you did in the first half of 2021 and what you hope to do in the second half of 2021. This is July. What do you hope to do moving forward to the rest of 2021?
Yeah, so 2021 seems to be another pandemic year. Mm-hmm. We were hoping for better days. We all hope for better days in 2021, but it is where it is. So the first half, we were still very busy. So other than Hassanah Special Grant, the Cerdik program, we also have some initiatives under the PERMAI initiative and also Pemerkasa now. We're working together with MyKasih to provide food aid into the MyKart, as you know, the MyKasih program. So pretty much largely, I think, 2021 looks to be another year. I think about 70% of our work will be pandemic-related. Mm-hmm. Our humanitarian response budget also increased. So we are continuously, you know, providing grants to very small micro NGOs who are doing targeted assistance in the communities all over the country. And then we've obviously got the bigger ones that we're working on. So looks largely to be pandemic-related, and we will continue to focus on that. In November, Rizal, if I may, quick plug, we will be having our Hassanah Forum in the month of November, so we are also preparing for that. It talks about moving from charity to justice and talking about issues in the social ecosystem in terms of, you know, inequalities and how do we tackle that. But again, you know, the issues are evolving, so who knows what we'll be discussing in November. Mm-hmm. But I think certainly the pandemic has brought forth a lot of the vulnerabilities, a lot of the issues that we probably need to review and look at. And maybe, you know, those social issues can be discussed in a lot more detail at the forum. So that's over and above everything else that we're doing, inshallah.
Thank you very much, Shahira Ahmad Bazari, pemegang amanah dan juga pengarah urusan Yayasan Hasanah, membincangkan berkenaan dengan laporan Hasanah pada tahun 2020 serta aktiviti dan juga bantuan yang diberikan oleh Yayasan Hasanah ketika pandemik ini. Kita akan teruskan dengan laporan seterusnya. Saham di pasaran Asia Pasifik dibuka rendah dengan pelabur menantikan data inflasi China yang akan diumumkan pada awal pagi ini. Dalam masa yang sama, saham di Jepun catat pembukaan rendah selepas Perdana Menteri Jepun menyatakan tiada penonton akan dibenarkan pada sukan Olimpik ini. Terdahulu, saham di pasaran Amerika rendah pada dagangan Khamis dengan S&P 500 dan Nasdaq menurun daripada paras tertinggi susulan ketidaktentuan pemulihan ekonomi Amerika. Ini selepas jumlah permohonan pengangguran pertama meningkat kepada 373,000 minggu lepas. Ini adalah petanda yang pasaran buruh masih lagi tidak menentu. Pada penutup, indeks Dow Jones jatuh 259 mata, S&P 500 jatuh 37 mata dan juga Nasdaq jatuh 105 mata. Minggu depan, bank utama akan umum keputusan kewangan untuk suku kedua. Presiden Suruhanjaya Eropah meluluskan bantuan 1.2 bilion euro kepada Cyprus. Bantuan berkenaan adalah sebahagian daripada pelan pemulihan 800 bilion euro yang diwujudkan bersama pada 2020. Ia adalah untuk memastikan negara ahli menguruskan kesan pandemik COVID-19 ke atas ekonomi masing-masing. Negara di Kesatuan Eropah catat penguncupan ekonomi yang besar akibat langkah ataupun pelbagai langkah untuk kurangkan penyebaran COVID-19. Negara ahli perlu berkongsi pelan mereka untuk gunakan dana itu dengan Kesatuan Eropah untuk ia diluluskan. Fokus utama dana berkenaan di semua negara adalah untuk pendigitalan dan teknologi hijau dan masa depan EU. Seterusnya, Kesatuan Eropah mendenda 4 pengeluar kereta utama Jerman dengan jumlah 875 juta euro. Ia mendapati ataupun EU mendapati syarikat ini berkomplot untuk menghadkan pembangunan dan juga pengeluaran sistem yang mengawal pelepasan gas pencemar kenderaan. Daimler, BMW, Volkswagen, Audi dan juga Porsche berkomplot untuk elak bersaing dalam pembangunan teknologi yang akan menghadkan pencemaran daripada kenderaan petrol dan diesel. Daimler bagaimanapun tidak didenda selepas mendedahkan pakatan berkenaan kepada Suruhanjaya Eropah. Ini adalah kali pertama Kesatuan Eropah denda pakatan untuk menghadkan pembangunan teknologi dan bukan pakatan harga yang biasa dilakukan. Menurut ketua anti-monopoli EU, biarpun syarikat ini punya teknologi untuk kurangkan pelepasan gas berbahaya, mereka menolak persaingan dan manfaat yang mungkin diberikan kepada pengguna untuk dapatkan kenderaan yang lebih bersih. EU membenarkan kerjasama antara syarikat untuk mempercepatkan pembangunan teknologi dan untuk sebarang peningkatan kebaikan. Dan paparan itu mengakhiri Niaga Awani untuk pagi ini. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awani untuk perkembangan lanjut dalam dan juga luar negara. Saya Riza Zulkapli. Salam hormat.